father came home while I was describing our day to Topaz. Not one word did he say about what he had been doing in London. He had travelled on the same train as Mrs. Cotton and asked her to dinner on the next Saturday. With Simon and Neil, of course. For once, Topaz really got angry. "Mortmain, how could you?" She simply shouted at him. "What are we to give them? And what on? You know we haven't a stick of dining room furniture." "Oh, give them ham and eggs in the kitchen," said Father. "They won't mind, and they've certainly provided enough ham." Suddenly he deflated. I just felt I had to." All the bravado had gone out of his voice. "She invited us to dine at Scotney again next week, and... my God, I think my brain's going. I actually forgot about the dining room furniture. Can't you rig something up?" He looked pleadingly at Topaz. Topaz rose to the occasion magnificently. "Don't worry, we'll manage. It's fun, in a way, a sort of challenge." She tried to use her most soothing contralto, but it broke a bit. I felt like hugging her. In the end, Topaz got Stephen to take the henhouse door off its hinges and make some rough trestles to put it on, and we pushed it close to the window seat in the dining room, which saved us 3 chairs. All our silver and good china and glass went long ago, but the vicar lent us his, including his silver candelabra. Topaz cooked, and Ivy Stebbins brought it in. Stephen and Thomas helped her in the kitchen. Mrs. Cotton was as talkative as ever, but very nice, so easy. I think it was really she who made us feel the dinner was a success. Americans are wonderfully adaptable. Neil and Simon helped with the washing up. They called it doing the dishes. Ivy washed and we all dried. Then Stephen took Ivy home. She is the same age as I am, but very big and handsome. She obviously has her eye on Stephen. I hadn't realized that before. I suppose it would be an excellent thing for him if he married her, because she is the Stebbins' only child and will inherit the farm. I wondered if he would kiss her on the way home. I wondered if he had ever kissed any girl. Part of my mind went with him through the dark fields, but most of it stayed with the Cottons in the kitchen. Soon after that, we were into the most exciting part of the evening. It began when Simon asked if they might see over the castle. "Light the lantern, Thomas, then we can go up on the walls," I said. I felt the more romantic I could make it, the better for Rose. "This is amazing," Simon said as he stepped out at the top of the gatehouse tower. Thomas set the lantern high on the battlement so that it shone on Rose's hair and face. The rest of her merged into the darkness because of her black dress. The soft wind blew her little chiffon shoulder cape across Simon's face. After a few minutes, Rose and I ran ahead to the bedroom and lit the candles. "Isn't there some way you can leave us together?" she whispered. "Don't worry, I swear I'll manage something," I told her. We heard the others crossing the landing. "Who sleeps in the four-poster?" asked Simon. "Rose," I said quickly. It happened to be my week for it, but I felt it was more romantic than the iron bedstead for him to picture her in. Neil put his arm around Miss Blossom and said she was just his type of girl, then knelt on the window seat to look down at the moat. Inspiration came to me. "How do you like to bathe?" I asked him. "Love it," he said instantly. "What, bathe tonight?" Thomas simply goggled at me. "Yes, it'll be fun." Thank goodness he caught the ghost of a wink I flickered at him and stopped goggling. "Lend Neil your bathing shorts. I'm afraid there's only one pair, Simon, but you could have them afterwards. Rose mustn't bathe because she gets chills so easily." Heaven forgive me, Rose is as strong as a horse. I am the one who gets chills. "We'll watch from the window," said Simon. I unearthed my bathing suit, then ran after Thomas, who was yelling from his room that he couldn't find the shorts. "What's the game?" he whispered. "Don't you know the water'll be icy?" I did indeed. We never bathe in the moat until July or August, and even then we usually regret it. I'll explain later, I told him. Don't you dare put Neil off. I found the shorts at last. They were helping to stop up Thomas's chimney. Luckily, they're black. You'd better change in the bathroom, I called to Neil. I'll meet you at the moat.